It's great to see you guys. The title of my message this morning is Help. For me personally, it's been a very challenging and demanding last 7 months. And I needed a lot of help. I needed a lot of encouragement. And I got it from you, and I'm very, very thankful. A lot of you have been asking me, how did the bar exam go? It was hard. It was very hard. I hadn't looked at that stuff in 22 years. I remember in December getting the review books and wanting to start a study. And I thought, okay, we're talking 17 different subject areas. Let me start with constitutional law. I used to love con law. And I remember opening up the book and started, you know, just looking at the stuff. And I kid you not, I got through the first 5 pages. I closed the book, and I thought, I'm in big trouble. Because I couldn't remember the stuff. I'd forgotten a lot of it. But praise God, over the last several months, you know, it all came back and started to come back. And I am so, so thankful. In Psalm 121, the Bible simply says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will keep you, the Lord will watch over you, your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The psalmist here says, you know what? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Jerusalem is surrounded by hills. And I want you to just picture him looking up towards the mountains and say, you know what? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And he answers us. He tells us. He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I hope, brothers and sisters, that as Christians, as children of God, that indeed every single one of us, every moment of the day, every hour, that we can say, you know what? My help comes from the Lord. You know, I had a chance to go back to Gainesville, Florida. I hadn't been back there in the congregation where I was baptized for 23 years. And we're heading back. And it hit me at some point as we're driving down. Wow. I haven't been back here in 23 years. And I just started praying in the car. My wife was driving. I was just praying, just thanking God for my life. It also happened to be, you know, a year when Gina was baptized. And here we are, we're going for that midweek service. And I was just thinking back in terms of everything God has done for me personally in the last 25 years. And even prior to that. And it was very overwhelming. You know, my wife kind of looked over and saw me crying. And she just held my hand. Just let me be. Don't reach your cries, just leave them alone. Because it dawned on me, and it all came back to me, you know, God has been my helper my whole life. Everything I am, everything I will ever hope to be, it's all because of God. And, you know, people often ask me, what keeps me going? It's God. There's no secret to this. That is who I depend on every single day. That is where my help comes from. And we have such an incredible God, such an incredible Father, that it breaks my heart when we're not really in there tapping in on that energy and that power that is at our disposal. And we need not suffer by ourselves. We did not go through this on our own because we cannot. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. So I'm asking this morning, where does your help come from? And I hope and pray that by the time we're done, you will decide to draw closer to God and draw closer to other brothers and sisters. In Hebrews 13, in verse 5, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Absolutely nothing. Amen? You see, the Hebrew writer writes here, I mean, this is way before America ever existed. He says we need to keep our lives free from the love of money. He says we need to be content with what we have. Why? Because God has promised us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's an amazing promise. That God is with us throughout. Amen? It's so encouraging when to know that God is not only on your side, but to know that you got support from all over the place. I want to publicly thank the elders for allowing me to take the time to study for the bar exam. I want to thank my family, my kids, and Sarah. I mean, she's in the nursery. Because literally for the last 7 months, I've just been locked in my office. There were days where I'll be in there for 6 to 10 hours. Just come out, eat something, get right back in there. It was that much work. Again, I hadn't looked at this stuff in 22 years. Even people that are very smart, they don't just go in and take that exam. They study. And in a lot of ways, I felt like, you know what, I am way behind the eight ball. I got very honest with you. I got in there, and I'm looking at all these kids. There's about 1,200 of us in that hall. And I'm looking at all these kids. I walk in there with my gray hair, and I'm like, you know what? I am old enough to be their fathers. That was how I felt. And you could see them looking at me, smiling, and I was just smiling back. Thinking, what is this old man doing in here? Well, it's amazing because, again, like I said, throughout all the months, I had the support. Believe it or not, I felt your prayers. Not just during the exam, even prior to it. Steve Collier gave me great advice the Sunday before the test. He said, you know, bro, Monday evening, I want you to shut it down. Whatever it is you do, just shut it down. Go out to dinner with your family and just go to sleep. And I did exactly that. Because my brain needed to rest. Went out to dinner with the family Monday night, came back home, just watched TV, and went to sleep. Got up 5 o'clock in the morning. My wife got up with me. Can I do anything? I said, I'm okay. We prayed together. I left, went down to Georgia War Congress Center, found a parking lot, got in there, you know, looking at some last minute stuff. Feeling good. At 10 minutes to 8, I decided to go into the building. And I walk in, and the place is totally quiet. And so I asked her, I said, please, where's, you know, all A? She said, just around the corner. I said, okay, maybe that's where everybody's at. So I went around the corner. The escalators were not even on. I looked up at the clock because I'd taken my wristwatch off. You're not allowed anything in the exam room, not even a wristwatch. It said 5 minutes to eight. I needed to be seated by 8:30. Then it dawned on me, I am in the wrong place. So I ran back to the lady. I said, where's the bar exam at? She says, what? Oh, I said, I'm in trouble. So she looks through the schedule. There's nothing like that on the schedule. At this point, I'm pacing up and down. I'm going, I am dead meat. I am finished. I can't believe this. How did this happen? I came to the wrong place. So she picked up the phone, called somebody. And as she was on the telephone, I said, wait a second. Isn't this GICC? She says, no, that's by the airport. I'm sweating at this point. I said, thank you. I'm running. Get back into the parking lot. Get back into the car. Trying to get out of place. I'm going the wrong direction. I said, Jesus, just get me out of here. Father, get me out of here. I am not kidding you. Because if I wasn't seated by 8:30 when they opened the doors, that's it. I can't take the exam. And they offer it only twice a year, in February and in July. And so I get onto the freeway. Church, I sinned. Okay? Because I was weaving through traffic. Now, I didn't get on the hub lane. Okay? And I said, you know, I'm going to get pulled over. And I rehearsed my speech. If I was pulled over, I was going to say, officer, you can write me a $2,000 ticket. Turn your lights on. Just get me to GICC. I was going to explain everything to him, because if I wasn't seated, once they shut the doors, that's it. And praise God, they didn't pull me over. I got over there. As I was pulling into the parking lot, I asked the lady, I said, is this where the bike exam is? I said, yeah. I said, here. Here's the receipt. I just drove in. Parked. Walked in. Trying to catch my breath. There was a lot of people out there. And I said Psalm 23. I recited Psalm 121. And the doors opened. And so I walk in. I'm still trying to catch my breath. I'm sweating at this point. There was a young man sitting next to me. He said, hi. I said, hi. So I'm trying to wipe the sweat off my hands. He's probably thinking, what's wrong with this old man? But if I had left the Georgia World Congress Center downtown, if I had gotten out of my car 5 minutes later than I did, I wouldn't have made it. I don't believe that was an accident. And, you know, we got in there, we sat down. You couldn't talk to anybody. They start giving the instructions. And again, I'm still sweating. I'm trying to concentrate. And I said, okay, now, Richard, get it together. I'm praying. Okay, I got to focus now. Okay, I'm in here. I got to get ready. And then at 3 minutes to nine, we start at 9 o'clock. The lady goes, take a deep breath. Try and relax. And I thought, you know what? That was for me. From God. And 9 o'clock, we started. And so I came back, you know, in the afternoon at lunchtime, when we had a break, I called my wife and told her what happened. I also told Steve and, you know, a bunch of other brothers later on that day, here is Mr. Never Be Late. Mr. Always Gets It Right. And I went to the wrong place. But God was with me, amen. I want to single out Carl Lane, because he was very, very encouraging. One of the days, Carl shows up. Again, I'm in my office, you know. My wife comes and says, Carl wants to see you. So I came out, and he brought over what Sarah called a man box. And he had M&Ms, ice cream, all kinds of good stuff. It totally blew me away. He says, bro, I just brought you this. You know, I know you're studying. You know, just going to take a break, whatever. It's like, wow. Then a couple of days later, I brought a cake. And then he brought another gift just to help me chill out after everything was done. And I don't get blown away very easily. I really don't. And nobody asked him to do that. But Carl, I want you to know that meant a lot. It just blew me away that you would go out of your way like that. Just thinking about me, and I know, you know, a lot of you were praying for me. And I just want you to know I'm very, very, very grateful. Because I know I couldn't have gone through this, you know, without your help and your support. Again, some of you have asked, so how did you do? And all I can tell you is I did my best. I answered every question. I finished the exam. But I really don't know. I don't want to stand up here and tell you, oh, yeah, I can't wait till November 1st. No. I have no idea. That's when the results come out, by the way. But I'll find out November 1st. But I'm glad that I went through it. And I was able to go through it. And I, like I said, I felt your praise. There were times during the exam I felt tired. You know, and I'll pause. And it's like, you know, I wasn't hearing voices. Just, Richard, calm down. You can do this. I don't want to read another question. I'm tired. Well, you get it together. And I take a deep breath and I just continue. And again, I knew that was all your prayers. Because on my own, I couldn't have done it. I just couldn't have. You see, we have a lot of helpers in this world. If you think about it. Teachers. Our parents, for those of us that are kids. Friends. We have mentors. Our spouses. Doctors, nurses. Mechanics. The grocery people. Farmers. Believe me, there's a lot that goes on in life that we need the help of other people. And the same thing is true spiritually. But the amazing thing is, you know what? That word help causes you to react. When we seek God's help, it causes God to react. You know, if you pick up the papers, there's a help wanted section where there are people that are looking for workers. And you better believe, out in the world, there are people looking for work. So what do? You go to the help wanted section. Amen? Because that's the only way you're going to find a job, is to go to the help wanted section. There's nothing wrong in asking for help. As a matter of fact, I think it takes a lot of humility to ask for help. And that's where a lot of times, even as Christians, we're not very good at it. Especially us men. Look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 in verse 18. You know this. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Amen? Now, I don't believe that that's a one-way street. In terms of, oh, it's just our wives that are meant to be helping us husbands. It's a two-way street. What God intended with marriage is for husband and wife, man and woman, to help each other out. Amen? Are we allowing our spouses to help us? That's the question. Like I said, especially us men, we're not very good at asking for help because we think we're Superman. Well, guess what? I don't know about you, I'm not Superman. I got no cape. I can't fly. If I leap off this place, there's only one way I'm going. It's down. It's not up. We're not designed to be Superman. We need to ask for help from our spouses. Where we look at our spouses regularly and say, you know what, honey, what do you see in me that needs to become more like Jesus? In what areas of my life do I need to change? How can I help you become everything God wants you to be? See, a lot of times we're sitting there and we're suffering in silence. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? We all need help. I can tell you, I would not be who I am if it wasn't for Sarah. My wife is remarkable. She's really a remarkable person. I'm very humbled that God would give me one of his best to be my wife, to be my helper. I couldn't do this without Sarah. That was one of the things I asked when I was interviewing for the job many years ago. Because I ain't doing this by myself. I never did the ministry by myself. I got to have my wife right next to me, helping me take care of the women. Because I'm not going to be sitting in some room counseling some lady. It's not happening. I love y'all, but that's my wife's job. That's one thing I thank God for that we got right in our church. You read the stories, hearing about ministers sleeping with women in the church. How do you think that happens? Because the quote unquote, the pastor is trying to do the woman's job. We have a women's ministry. Amen? I mean, you can't be sitting there as a guy and you're sitting there with a lady and letting her tell you her problems. First of all, there's going to be an emotional connection. You don't want that. That's why we have the women's ministry. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm very thankful that God has given me a very special person to help me out. And she's been doing it for over 2 decades. If she said tomorrow, you know what, Richard, I can't do this anymore. Guess what? I got to step down. Because I can't do this on my own. Or I'm not going to do this with another female by my side. Again, I've seen people try to do it. It doesn't work. Let's just put that on the table. It doesn't work. I believe a minister needs to be serving right next to his wife. Now, she's not an evangelist. She wasn't designed to be. But she's helping taking care of the women's ministry. Sisters, aren't you glad that we got a women's ministry in this church? And you better believe her phone keeps on ringing. The elders' wives are the same way. I mean, their phone keeps on ringing. And that's where this is dying to be. Amen? Because I promise you, Alan Rao's not going to be sitting down with your sister and listening to your, you know, it's not happening. He's going to say, Sherry, could you take care of that? That's the way it's designed to be. Now, there are times, yeah, husband and wife, we need to sit down with husband and wife. That's fine. But we need help. We were not meant to do this alone. Amen? You know, it's amazing when you think about it. If you think about your life up to this point, there are different people, probably hundreds of people that have helped you in one way or the other up to this point. And many of them have come, many have gone. It always amazes me how people remember their sixth grade social studies teacher. I mean, it always amazes me. There's only one teacher I remember when I was in elementary school. That was my English teacher, Mrs. Doherty. Because she taught my mom, and that woman was no nonsense. She was also the principal. She was going to be, you know what, I'm coming to see your mom. As a lot of times when I was being disobedient at home, all my mother needed to say, I'm coming to see Mrs. Doherty, and I would shape up. That was all she needed to say. And so we have different people like that in our lives. Even as adults, different people that have been there for us. You know, I remember going back to Gainesville and seeing a brother who used to play professional football. And he was like my first discipling partner that I had as a young Christian. He's been all over the place, but now he's back in Gainesville. Val Brown, still big fella. He's like 6'6", 260 pounds, just solid. And he's about 51 now. He still looks the same way. But I remember him sitting me down as a young Christian and helping me out. It was so encouraging to see him. Saw other people in the church that, you know, they were obviously Christians before I was, but they're still there. It's very encouraging introducing them to my wife and to my kids. The last time they saw me, I was a single guy. But you know what's amazing? When you look at your life, when I look at my life, about all the different people that have helped us, the one constant that has always been there is God. God has been the one constant through all that stuff, through your life. My parents are gone now. I remember when I finished the exam, I cried. Because I remember when I graduated from law school, I had no debt, not one dime. Why? Because my mother paid for everything. And that's what I want to do for my kids. That's the way it is in my culture. I don't want them to get out of school and, you know, they got these huge student loans to pay off. And again, I was just crying, just realizing, you know what? Man, God has been so good to me in so many different ways. And I know some of us in here, again, that's our goal. That's our desire. We want to help our kids get through school and help them and help them get on in life. And that's fantastic. Kids, I want to talk to you for a second. You have friends in high school right now. Some of you are starting high school for the first time tomorrow. It's just high school. You got nothing to worry about. You say, oh, Mr. Rich, I'm very nervous. Guess what? Everybody else there is nervous. They're just not trying to show it.
They're all nervous. You're all in the same boat. But your classmates are going to come. They're going to go. I promise you, 10 years from now, they won't even remember your name. The one thing that's going to be constant through all this stuff is God. And that's who you've got to hold on to. If you do that, you will never go wrong. And if you don't have God, then you need to get God. You need to get close to God. Because I'm telling you, God is good. God is very good. God is extremely good. If you will simply ask for his help, if you will simply go to him. Amen? Look in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, David writes, I will extol the Lord at all times. Verse 1. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Listen to what it says. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amen. God is awesome. But we got to go and seek his help. We got to draw close to him. I believe that's the difference between success and failure. Are we seeking God or are we seeking ourselves? Or are we trying to live this life on our own power? We can't do it on our own power. We should have figured that by now. It doesn't work. It has never worked and it will never work. Because you know what they say? You keep doing the same thing expecting to get a different result. It's the height of insanity. You got to put God into the picture. Amen? Amen? Where does your help come from? You know, it's amazing. One of the tragic things you read about in the Old Testament. When you think about all the kings of Egypt. Sorry, not kings of Egypt. All the kings of Israel. You know, at some point, you know, they broke up into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. When you look at all those kings, these were God's people. You realize you can count on one hand how many of those kings really sought God and walked with God? It's an amazing thing. Asa was an exception. Josiah was an exception. Hezekiah was an exception. Some of them started off well and then later on they tapered off. But majority of the kings, we're talking 97% of them, they didn't seek God. They didn't seek his help. They were running after other gods. It's a very tragic story. We're talking about God's people. So the question is, even as we're sitting here this morning, are you a disciple, are you a Christian that is always seeking God's help? Not just every day, but throughout the day? I mean, it really concerns me when, you know, I'm talking to somebody and I just say, yeah, how's it going? Well, I don't know, you know, I'm struggling. Okay. What's going on? And invariably, almost every time, the one constant thing is the reason why that person may be struggling right now is because they're not close to God. So, how's your prayer life? How's your personal Bible study going? Well, yeah, maybe in a week, maybe I do two or three times. See, that's the first thing we got to fix. Because you're not asking God for help. You're going to be very frustrated. You're going to keep going around in circles. It doesn't work. That's where we got to start from. You say, well, Richard, you're being so simplistic. It is very simple. It really is. That's where we've got to start. When we get back into our relationship with God, where we're just praying constantly. We love to get into His Word. That's where it comes from. That's where my help comes from. I hope that's where yours comes from too. Amen? And God has been blessing us as a church. He's done way beyond what I can imagine, honestly, even up to this point. You know, one of my private goals, quote unquote, for the church, when we started this year, I know the leaders went off. I can't remember the name of the place. We always go off and hide ourselves. I know it's in Helen, Georgia. But, you know, we had a great prayer time. We started off the year fasting and praying and all that. The goal this year was to have 30 people baptized into Christ. 19 people have been baptized into Christ already this year. And I have been in my office studying. So I know it has never depended on me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I will always depend on our relationship and our closeness to God. So whatever it is we want God to see the rest of the year and the rest of this decade, the question is, are we asking God for help? That's always the issue. Here we are, you know, we're trying to buy this building down the road. What have we been doing? Crying out to God for help. Amen. We made a counter offer. Now we're waiting to hear back from them. And like I said before, if God wants us in that place, there's not anybody in this universe who will be able to do to stop it. So we have nothing to worry about as long as we're seeking God's help. You don't have to suffer in silence. I get very concerned when, you know, some of us, we just see you on Sunday. I say, oh, Richard, here we go again. We need to come to church to worship God. Okay, that's the reason why we gather. Amen? Amen. But so we also come to encourage one another. Amen. I know you don't have courage being put into you because you're not there. And again, I can easily ask, how's your walk with the Lord? That's where the problem is at. Because I promise you, if you're close to God, you want to be around God's people. It doesn't work that way. Man, I'm doing great spiritually. Man, me and God, we're tight. That's a lie. That is a lie. And you don't want to be around God's people. God's people are not involved in your life. That is a lie. Let's just be honest here. But you got to ask for help. Because in case you haven't noticed, the Apostle Peter is not in this church. I don't read minds. The elders cannot read minds. But when you say, you know what, hey, I need help. Here's what's going on in my life. Whatever it is, then people are going to be there to be able to help you. Amen? But you've got to ask for help. You're not 17 anymore. Okay? I don't have to remind you of that. You're a grown man now. You got a family. For your sake, for the sake of your family, seek some help. Ask for help. Last song, last prayer, boom, you're gone. It shouldn't be that way. Hey, let me talk to somebody. Brother, sister, you got a minute? Yeah, have a seat. Pray for me about this. Ask me about this. I need help with this. Whatever. Amen? Amen? That's why we have a church. And it's amazing how amazing God works. You know, we want God to do different things. And, you know, we pray to Him. We ask for help. Guess what He does? He's going to use people to answer your prayers. He's going to use people in this room and other places to come to your aid. You're not going to pray for something. All of a sudden, God shows up. Ta-da! Your wish is my command. It doesn't work that way. You've been watching too many movies. He's going to use another human being. Amen? I get very touched when people call me up and tell me, oh, man, I'm going through this. Could you pray for me about this? Or, you know, do you have any passage that can encourage me? That's very encouraging to me. We need to be praying for one another. I mean, think about it. You're looking for a job. Okay? You're going through the help wanted section. And obviously, you're praying to God. Your prayers are going up. All right? Can you imagine that same situation? But instead of just your own prayers going up, or you and your spouse, 20 other people are praying about the same situation. Oh. Amen? Amen? That's when God starts to work. But people don't know what you're going through unless you open your mouth. You got to tell them. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. And so I got a challenge for you before we go this afternoon. I want you to walk up to another disciple. And I want you to tell them one thing you want them to be praying for you about. Where you, they put you on their prayer list. About one issue. I know for months I was telling people, just help me pray that, you know, I'll pass this exam. Now I got to find someone else. I don't know, you know, what I got to tell people now. Okay, maybe it's now the building, which is not to say I haven't been praying for the building, but, you know, maybe that's the next major thing I really want God to do. And I have been praying about it, like we all have been. But I want you to talk to somebody this afternoon. Same thing with you teens, okay? Don't this applies to you. Okay, if you hear my voice, it applies to you too. Ask somebody else to be praying for you about something. Amen? And then do it. As you go before God this week, put that person in your prayers. Amen? We're going to end up in Hebrews chapter 5. Forgive me, I know I've gone over, but I haven't preached in weeks. So I got a lot to say. In Hebrews chapter 5, I cried a lot yesterday. I was watching the induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And a bunch of guys, seven guys actually, were inducted into the hall yesterday, including Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith. And I remember running to Emmitt Smith when I was at law school, University of Florida. He was a freshman at the time. He drove a brown Nissan Maxima. And I ran into him the spot where I was invited to church. He was going in to buy something. I was coming out. And I looked up and I saw him. And I just said, "Hi, Emmitt." And he says, "Hi." And that was it. And I watched him play football for University of Florida that freshman year. I'll never forget it. When we got to Kenya to start the church, Frank Davis, a lot of us in here know, he and Michelle were on the mission team. And we got to Kenya and the Dallas Cowboys drafted him. Again, I'm also a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I told you how I became a Dallas Cowboys fan. "Oh, that's America's team?" I said, "Okay, fine. I'm going to join everybody." That's how I became a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I remember telling Frank Davis, I said, "Mark that name down." I said, "He's going to be a sensation in the NFL." I said, "Just mark it down." He was inducted yesterday, the leading rusher, at 21 years old. He had a journal and he wrote down some goals. He wrote down that he wanted to win the Super Bowl. He won 3. He wrote down he wanted to be the most valuable player in the league, and he did. He wrote down he wanted to be the NFL leading rusher, and he did. At the time, people laughed at him, like, "You're too small. You're not fast. It's not going to happen." And he did. And he also wrote down, "I'm going to go back and finish school," because he had promised his mother he would do it. I should have heard him last night giving his speech. Memorized it, didn't refer to any notes. I mean, he had the whole place in tears. But to me, one of the most touching parts of it was he had the guy who was the fullback, Darrell Johnston, stand up. The guy who blocked for him so he could get all those holes. And that was when he lost it. To realize that this guy constantly was there to help him out, to sacrifice his body and take all the beating so that he could run. You see, God is always there for us every single day. He's been the one constant. And look at the way this ends, talking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the hope, faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Amen. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God bless you all.
Okay. Like all good things come to an end. Before we close with a word of prayer, I would like to acknowledge as a church and give a standing ovation to Richard for his courage, his tenacity. And also I wanted to tell him that despite of the results, in our hearts, he is a winner. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our hands, please. Goodness, Mr. Dear God, today we give you thanks for our first day of the week that we come with happiness in our heart, We thank you, God, for the opportunity that you gave us to participate in this feast that you gave us today, God. Thank you, God, because it takes a lot of people to put this together. From the ushers, the musicians, the singers, our preacher. We thank you, God, for all of them because of them, you give us your word, God. Thank you to speak to us today, God. We appreciate it because every single word that Richard spoke today were embraced in our hearts and in our minds, God. We thank you for that, God. And also I wanted to thank you and to help us with our children that they're going to start school tomorrow. We put our children in your hands, God. Help every single one of them, especially the one that they're going to start high school. I know how hard it is. Bless every single one. Protect them, and in you we trust, God. Señor, en esta mañana te damos gracias por tu amor, tu misericordia y por habernos traído a este servicio, Señor. Te damos las gracias porque el grupo de hermanos y hermanas que pusieron esto juntos, desde los que ayudan a sentar a las personas, los que ayudan en la comunión, los que ayudan en la música, el predicador, te damos gracias por cada uno de ellos. Te pido que bendigas también a los niños que van a empezar a la escuela, especialmente a los que van a ir a la escuela superior. Te pido que los ayudes, los bendigas y los protejas, porque en ti confiamos, Señor. Gracias por todo. Thank you, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're dismissed.